Find Matthew in chapter number 1 this morning, Matthew in chapter number 1, and we are going to be looking at unplanned fatherhood. Mother's Day, we looked at unplanned motherhood and unplanned pregnancy. I just thought we ought to look at the side from the man's perspective, and I'll tell you, Joseph is honestly probably one of the more underrated characters in the Bible record. When we think of the father that God chose, all right, to be the head of the home that his own son would be raised in. He's very much an underappreciated character, but that is exactly the role that God gave Joseph. And God leads from the head, and God gave an order of leadership in the Word of God. He said, "Listen, I'm in charge." Right? He's in control. And then he's placed his son, then man, and then woman. And this world and a lot of false religion, they want to elevate Mary above that which she is elevated in the Word of God. And I'm not saying, man, Mary had no part. No, she played a very crucial role, right? And there's no doubt about that. But just because Mary was carrying the Son of God and she was the mother of the Son of God didn't negate the fact that she was also married to a man named Joseph, and in God's order and structure, there was to be submission that was there from Mary towards Joseph, who would be her husband. And so he played just this crucial role that God chose for Joseph. And I think, my goodness, how special Mary is, and the work that God gave her to do as she carried the Son of God. But understand with me, let's not lose Joseph in sight of this couple that God chose to be the place where his son would be nurtured and raised. And there was a home that he was placed into. It took a mom and a dad. Amen. I know that's contrary to the world we live in, and I'm not at all trying to be political, but we'd understand that there's a lot of attack on the home today, and the idea of what is referred to as the nuclear home. When you read about that, and you read about groups like Black Lives Matter or different ones, their attack is that they are trying to destroy that which God has formed. And I just want to say this, and I'm not trying to get amens. I'm not trying to get anybody riled up. I want us to understand that God formed a home with a man and a woman. That's what he formed the home with, and he wanted a man and a woman to make a commitment before him to one another, that they would be able to bring forth children that would be raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Word of God. And in order for a home to work, this is a reality. So there's going to be points in time where men are going to have to not be selfish. That's difficult for us, isn't it? I'm good at being selfish. I'm good at barking orders. I'm good at, hey, get dad a bottle of soda. Go get dad a glass of ice. Go pick up this for dad. Go mow the yard. Go take out the trash. I'm great at barking orders. I'm good. As dads, we all are. But listen to me. Our Heavenly Father looked down at our need as mankind, right? And didn't just bark orders. He gave us an opportunity that we might be able to be a recipient of his love. And what God needs is he needs fathers today that are going to realize that they're going to have to lay aside their own pride. They're going to have to say they're going to have to lay aside their own desires. They're going to have to say no to their flesh, and they're going to have to be obedient to the Word of God. That's what's absent in our society today. It's missing in our society today. It's the reason that we have children growing up homes with fathers who are absent. And even when dad is there, many times he's mentally checked out and the home is relegated to mom. And mom's in charge of everything in the home, including the discipline in the home and including the instruction in the home. And dad never sits the family around the table and says, "Listen, we need to have a talk." Because he's engaged in his work, and then he's engaged in his hobbies, and he's engaged in this and that. I just want you to understand the most important thing a man can do for the home is lay aside his own personal feelings, his own personal desires, and listen, and minister to the needs of his wife and his children. His wife and his children. We had a generation in our nation that was known as the Great Generation. They were known as the Great Generation. And it was full of men and women. I don't want to negate that, but it was full of men who, for the good of their country and the good of their children, said, you know what, we're going to go and we're going to commit ourselves. We're going to commit our very lives to going out and to putting our lives on the line because they didn't want their children to be taken over by a evil regime. No, we would have called as communism and the Nazis. And all those kind of things. We're going to go and fight those things overseas so that the fight doesn't come to our shores. They're willing to give of themselves. And they're willing to give of their lives. And understand, that generation came home and they built this nation to be what it is today. Not because they were looking around for everybody to give them a handout. And not because they were looking to the government saying, the government owes us. But because, listen, they got home from giving themselves into war and giving themselves to a battle that wasn't on their shores to keep it off of their shores. And then they came home and they rolled up their sleeves and they went to work. And while they were out there doing that, we had the ladies of that generation here doing the work while they were gone. I'm telling you, we've gotten in our place in our nation where we're just lazy. And we expect everyone to do everything for us. And the desires that we're desiring to fill, I'm going to get in the message here in just a second, I promise. The desires that we're desiring to fill are not the needs of someone else, but their own. They are the basest desires of man. That's what our desire. That's what Pride Month is all about. I'm going to have my own needs met. And people are going to know what I think and how I feel. I'm telling you, we probably ought to look back a couple generations to some people that just said, you know what, we're going to put our lives on hold for the good of someone else. Right. Yeah. We're going to sacrifice our own wants, our own desires, because we understand that there's something bigger out there than just little old us and what we want. And we're going to see our nation destroyed by the kind of mentality that is absent from the life of Joseph. A mentality of humility and just willingness to say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you have for me to do? I want us to look at this in the life of Joseph. If you would, I'll let you be seated because I've been talking probably more than I was planning on. But look at the chapter 1 of Matthew. Because I want to point out some things as we read. So I want you to be very deliberate in looking at the text this morning. Matthew 1, verse number 18. Says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to point out in that verse the phrase, before they came together. They were engaged, if you will. They were espoused to one another. I mean, honestly, in the Jewish culture, this was a done deal. The marriage was something that was going to take place. And the Bible says they had not come together yet in a marital sense. They hadn't come together yet. It tells us right away, Joseph was a moral man. He had moral character and virtue. He did. Absent from men today. I mean, it's just absent from men today in America, for sure. Pretty much around the world, but especially in America. Look at verse 19. And Joseph, then Joseph, her husband, says right there, they were espoused, but it was looked legally in the Jewish community as this is her husband, being a, look at this, a just man. A just man. He was right. He did right, and he was righteous. Not willing to make her a public example, he was compassionate. I'm just pointing these things out because this is stuff that's just absent from manhood today. It's absent from manhood today. He was compassionate, not willing to make her a public example, put her away privately. And I love verse 20. But while he thought, you understand with me, we're such a busy society. We don't think anymore at all. We don't. We got Google. We don't have to think no more. I'm just saying, as a society, it's very rare. And I think it's hindered the prayer lives of Christians especially, is we just don't stop and spend time with God. We don't. We don't stop about anything. We're run, 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 go, go, go. We don't stop. But he was a man that heard the word of God, and he just stopped and he pondered and he thought about it. He thought about what God had told him. He thought about the circumstances that he was in. And I want you to understand, it led to a godly response. It led to a godly response. You say, how did it lead to a godly response? Because he was looking at the circumstance, and while everybody else, listen, while if he hadn't acted in the way he did, everyone else would have looked at this and it would have been immorality, and Mary would have been in sin, and Mary would have been in a very difficult spot. And Joseph looked at the circumstance that was taking place and the place that she was in, and what everyone else would have thought of sin and just irreparable, he had compassion. He took time to think about it, to think things through. Again, men, if we just take time to just spend a little thought about what's going on in the day and age we live in, we think about a little time to think about what's going to take place by the decisions that we're making. How is this going to fall out? How is this going to work out in my life? How is this going to work out in the life of my wife? How is this going to work out in the life of my children? We just live in a day and a generation where men just are not thoughtful of that at all. We're just desirous to have our own needs met. And we call that selfishness and pride, not compassion and thoughtfulness. But I'm telling you, Joseph, that's what he was. Just keep on reading verse number 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet, saying, and this would be the prophet Isaiah, and you can look in Isaiah 7:14, but verse number 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And Joseph, being raised from asleep, look at this, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him Mary his wife. And look at this again. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. Can I say this? He was patient. He was patient. Wasn't just like, hey, okay, now I can get my... No, no, no. He was patient. Not just like he was willing to wait in the line at the bank without complaining about it. No, no, no. Of his own needs and his own desires, which I'm just saying, I don't think we're any different than the needs and the desires of any other married man in the room. But he was patient. And he was willing to be patient. He was willing to put his own needs, his own desires on hold. Look in chapter number 2, because we can read more about Joseph. In chapter number 2, look at verse number 11. It says, and when they came unto the house, and they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, this is the kings that came to visit, he says, and they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return unto Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And then look at verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt shall I call my son. And that's Hosea 11:1. But I want you to know that, listen, he was a man, listen, that was willing to take responsibility that was given him. We see that in Joseph. He was willing to take responsibility. I'm not against, listen, I'm not against praising Mary. I'm not against putting her in the position that she is. And she is blessed and favored among women. There's no doubt about it. But God placed Joseph in the home, just like he placed every father in the home, to take up some responsibility. within the home. God desires that men would be responsible for their homes. That means that the men, we need to, if we're capable of working and providing, we ought to get up and provide. If we're capable, I understand there's some things at times when that's not the case. I'm not preaching is that. I'm just saying, listen, don't be lazy in your home and don't negate the responsibilities of the home to your wife. You can go ahead and discipline the children too. Right? You can be the provider in your home. You can take responsibility. You can go ahead and look in the Word of God and hear from God. And when God says, listen, this is what I want, then you don't have to look at mom and go, well, I mean, God wants this, so I guess you better make sure it happens. No. He took the young child and his wife, and he led them where God wanted them to go. Come on, men. He led them where God wanted to go. He took the responsibility of the home, and he didn't just act like, it's no big deal. We'll just arrive there. If you just got in a boat and said, turn the motor on, put the sail up, and just let her drive. Yeah, you don't have any clue where you're going to end up. You don't have any clue where you're going. What a boat needs is for someone to skipper the thing. The boat needs someone to go ahead and say, listen, I'm going to grab a hold of the helm. I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to lead this boat where we want it to go. I'm going to make sure we get from point A to point B. And I'm going to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do to get there. It's called responsibility. I'm just saying it's absent in our homes today. It's absent in our homes today. It was present in the life of Joseph. And you say, well, it's a different time and a different place and things have changed and women are more. No, I'm telling you, my wife still enjoys to be led. Yes. She does. She enjoys to be led. And you say, well, I don't know that that's all women. I'm pretty confident that your wife would respond the same way if you would be the kind of man you're supposed to be. I'm just saying, when I will say, listen, this is the direction of God, and this is in the Word of God, and this is the way I feel the Lord's leading, and this is the way the Lord's directing, and my wife is confident that I'm walking with God. Come on, she has confidence that I'm walking with God. I tell you, the best way to do that is for her to watch me read the Word of God. It's good for her to know that I'm reading the Word of God. And tell you, it's good for me to stop and to get down beside our bed for some time together and just say, hey, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's approach the throne of God together. Guess what she knows I'm doing? Because she's right there with me. She knows we're going to the Lord together. Amen. I'm telling you, men, we need to take responsibility. We need to take responsibility. You need to take responsibility for your home. There should be a point in time when people engage in a relationship that they've proven themselves responsible. When you look at the idea of espousement, that's where they, before they were coming together, where they were espoused unto one another. And as they were espoused unto one another, there was a mutual agreement by the parties involved, her father and him, that they were married. I mean, it even refers to them in chapter number one. I pointed this out as her husband, but there were preparations that he was making. I mean, there were some things that he was providing. There were things that he was getting ready before the ceremony ever took place that they were going to, before they were going to come together. He had some responsibilities he was going to take care of. And once the home was formed, he still had responsibilities to take care of. His responsibilities didn't go away. They weren't diminished. They didn't end at all. And he looked at the word, he heard the Word of God. Listen, he heard the Word of God and he acted upon the Word of God. He was led and guided by the Word of God, and he took and he arose. Look at verse number 19. And this is just the kind of the story we have of Joseph. It says, but when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child, his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and he took the young child and his mother and came unto the land of Israel. But you say, all right, great, again, he was obedient. But I want to point out this in the very next verse. I think we don't want to miss this, because we could just talk again about his obedience. But look at this. It says, but when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go hither. notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in the city of Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, that he shall be called a Nazarene. Nazarene. So now get this. Here he is. I mean, God said, listen, it's time to go back. And so he's like, okay, we're going to go back. But if we go back to Bethlehem, where we departed from, if we go back there, then listen, the son of Herod, he's reigning in his place, and we don't know what's going to happen there. And so there was some fear and some trepidation on his part. So he consulted God again. The Bible says this, that a wise man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. A wise man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. And as Joseph is going about this journey, as he's going to be obedient to God, he steps out to God and he understands, he's looking around at what's going on. Come on. He was in the know about what's going on. All right, some of you aren't getting... Joseph was aware of who was in control and who was in charge in Judah. He was aware of what was going around and on around in the society. He was aware of what was going on around him. Some of you aren't getting this yet. He was aware of who was in control. He was aware of what the culture was doing and where the culture was going, and that the person that was still in charge and the person that was still calling the shots there could pose a threat unto his home and to his family and unto the Son of God. And so Joseph went and consulted God again and got a hold of God again, and God said, listen, yeah, you might want to avoid that and go into Nazareth. And besides that, that was already foretold of the prophets that he was going to come out of there. Joseph didn't just say, hey, we got permission to go, so here, boom, let's go. No. He knew a direction God had called him, and then he sought further instruction from God. Listen, not just to get to a certain place, but to the perfect place. Come on. He wasn't just like, hey, we're just gonna go to church, and we're just gonna, you know, just kind of go through the motions of Christianity. No. He was leading his home, the home that God had given him direction to lead, the home that God had put him in charge of, and he was leading them to the perfect will of God. You say, how did he lead them to the perfect will of God? Because he was following after the word of God. And he led them to the perfect will of God and to the place that God wanted his son to be. Joseph just, I mean, come on. If he was as nonchalant, just like, well, you know, things will just get figured out for themselves. We're just going to get on the road. We're just going to hope that everything works out. No. God had a perfect place for them to be. And God had a perfect direction for them to go. And listen, Joseph, he was brave. He was brave. He was afraid to go thither. He was afraid to go thither. So it didn't stop that he goes, I'm just afraid. I'm not going to do anything. No, he was fearful in this way that he decided, you know what? I'm afraid of what's going on. So I'm going to go and talk to the one whom I know has control. Come on. He was afraid of what was going on. He understood the trepidation. He was looking around. He was seeing what was going on. And instead of going, all right, we're just going to sit here and do nothing. We're not going to be obedient in any way. We're not going to do anything. No. He was afraid in this sense. His fear didn't cause him to sit and cower. His fear caused him to go to the one who was in control. That's what his fear caused him to do. Didn't sit around and go, oh, goodness, I don't know. How is the home going to make it? How's my kids going to make it? No. He went to the one who he knew was in control. I'm telling you, when we're afraid, we have the same God. I'm telling you, we ought to look around. I remember when I was a teenager, and especially when I was in Bible college, and I remember old preachers like, and I'm at that point in my 20s, I was looking at guys like, man, he's 50 years old, he's really old, you know. And if somebody like, I remember we had Art Wilson come through, and he was in his 90s, and he had to, I mean, he was just amazing. I remember Brother Wilson when I was a little kid and then growing up, but Art Wilson, he was in his 90s and had preached for, you know, 100,000 years, you know, And he would literally, he'd get up and he's in his 90s. He couldn't even read anymore. And he'd get up with the Bible and he couldn't see it, but he'd just open his Bible. I don't know if he opened it to the right text or not, but he'd open his Bible and then he'd just start quoting a chapter of scripture. I mean, he quoted the book of Daniel. I remember him preaching when I was in college and he preached out of a book of Daniel and just stood there and quoted the book of Daniel and then preached for 2 hours on Daniel. It was the most amazing thing you'd ever seen. And I remember guys like Art Wilson saying, young men, listen, if barring the Lord's coming, this world's getting worse and worse and worse, and you're going to face things that my generation never faced. Right. And I don't know if I'm getting old. Probably am. Somebody pointed out to me this week that my beard has gray in it. Thanks. But I was very thankful when I sat down with my wife and she said, I have 2 gray hairs. And I said, just 2? And then she punched me. No, she didn't punch me. She didn't. But she said, no, I pulled the other one. So that's what she said. But listen, I'm looking at things that are going on today. And I'm looking at my kids and thinking, man, what's life going to be like for them? I'm telling you, it's kind of fearful. But listen, we're not to live our life in fear. And we can't say, listen, we need to just be quiet to the word of God. We don't need to be obedient to God because I'm afraid of what's going on. If we were obedient to God, we don't know what could happen. No. What our fear should cause us to do is to humble ourselves before the one who's in control. And when we don't know what the outcome is going to be, and we don't know what direction we're supposed to go forward, we understand the psalmist said, at what time am I afraid? I will call upon the Lord. I'm going to call upon the Lord. I'm going to go to hold the Lord. And I'm telling you, true bravery is not some act of, just like I went out and did. I'm telling you, I like how one guy, I don't know who coined the phrase, but somebody once said this, real men fight on their knees. Fight on their knees. Because understand with me, they weren't just living out the life of Joseph and Mary and Jesus. Come on, sometimes we get confused about that. And I'm telling you, even Christianity, I mean, you can read books like Live Your Best Life Now. No. I'm not just living out the life of Josh and Rochelle Carter and our 5 kids. We're supposed to be living out the life that God's ordered for us and that God's directed for us and that God's designed for us. And it's not so much about you living out your story as it is of you fulfilling His will and the story that He's written. That's what it's about. And sometimes that's going to be fearful. Not everything you're going to do in your life is just going to be like, well, I'm going to just go get it done. Grit and grind it out. No. Sometimes there's going to be some fear and some trepidation that is involved in that. So we point out all these different things about Joseph's life, but honestly, that which defines, I think, every bit of it, the most important part of it is this, that he was faithful and obedient to the word of God. He was faithful and he was obedient to the word of God. I want you to understand, my wife needs to see me being faithful and obedient to the word of God. I know I've already preached that. I'm just trying to reiterate it. She's going to respect us. She's going to follow us. She's going to submit to that. When she sees me faithful and obedient to the word, my children need to see me faithful and obedient to the word of God. I'm just thankful. I poloed through technology, you know. Some of you have no idea what that means, and that's okay. That's fine. You don't need to. But I was just communicating with my family. Of course, they're all back 2 hours ahead, so they're communicating far beyond an hour where I'm comfortable communicating. My hair was still sticking up, and I'm still in my PJs. But when I did get to the point where I was ready to communicate with them, I watched my dad was on there first this morning. Hey, I'm thankful for you guys that all three sons will be preaching. My brother-in-law is they're on their way. We support them as missionaries to Italy. He said, I just want you to know I'm proud of all you guys and how you're serving the Lord. It's kind of like, well, that's what you taught us to do. And it just is. It wasn't like, yeah, you should be proud of us. No, that's what I mean. In our home, it was always about that. Listen, we just need to be obedient to God. And when God says go, we need to go. And when God says move, we need to move. And when God says stop, we need to stop. And you say, did Dad get everything right? No, he didn't. He was honest about it, though. He was honest about it. But hey, I messed up here. I made a mistake here. I wasn't in tune with God here. I missed this. He was honest about it when he wasn't. But the main desire was simply, listen, we need to be obedient and faithful to the Word of God. And I'm telling you, sometimes that meant that I didn't get my way when I was a teenager. I know that's absent from the minds of a lot of teenagers out in this world, that life revolves around them and everything's about them. But let me clue you, if you're a teenager here today, it's not. Sorry to burst your bubble. It's not. Life does not revolve around you. It doesn't. And you don't know everything. And you do need someone to come along you and tell you, listen, you're not that smart. If I have to be that person to do that for you, I'll let you know. I'll look all of you as I can in the eye and just inform you at 18, 20, 19, 17, or 12. I don't know all the different ages in the room today. You're really not that smart. And it's okay. You ought to submit yourself to the fact that someone else is watching over you and someone else is saying, hey, listen, this is the direction for God for our lives. And this is the direction God wants us to go. And this is the place God wants us to be. And this is the purpose for God has for our home. And if you're just going to leave all those things up to chance, I'm telling you, you look out here in this world and see the mess of teenage lives today. You look out here in this world and see the mess of 20-something-year-olds' lives today. And 30-something, and sadly, it's getting worse and worse and worse. People's lives are in a mess because someone didn't just say, listen, we're going to be obedient to the Word of God, and we're going to be faithful to the Word of God, and we're going to do it in fear, and we're going to do it with reverence, and we're going to do it with respect, and listen, all these things we just talked about in most Joseph's life. Above all the things we could say about him, he was faithful and obedient to the Word of God. Let me finish with this morning. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us and has provided a perfect example for us. Say, man, where did Joseph get all this stuff? He was faithful and obedient to the Word of God. And he had a Heavenly Father who was instructing him and giving him instruction and giving him orders and giving him direction and telling him where to go. And so listen, as our Heavenly Father has been faithful, guess what, Dad? He's put you in the place of a father so that you could be faithful and obedient to him as well. Dad, God wants to give you instruction. God wants to give you orders. God wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. And not just for you. He wants to do it for your wife and for your children. And I'm telling you, we more than any other day need men that are willing to be faithfully obedient to the Word of God. Men that realize it's not about me. It's not about my desires. It's not about my hobbies. It's not about my pleasure. But the greatest thing I can give to my family and to my church and to the generation I am a part of is my faithful obedience to the Word of God. We are dying in a generation of men because there are fewer and fewer men who are willing to be faithfully obedient to the Word of God. We have instruction. I mean, we have an example of our Heavenly Father. We have an example of Joseph. Come on. And there's others we could point to in the Word of God, isn't there? Yes. But guess what? In the day and age we live in, the example of the Father was given, and it was followed by Joseph. It was followed by others in the Word of God. And listen, it needs to be followed by you as well. Because God gave instruction in the church that the elder are to teach the younger. And listen, I'm responsible to teach that young man right there how to be faithful and obedient to the Word of God. I am held accountable before God to teach him how to be faithfully obedient to the Word of God. He's going to give an account of himself one day. But listen, I'm going to give an account of him one day. And listen, I can't make all his decisions for him. I can't make all his choices for him. I mean, there's going to be a point in time where he's going to be making his own decisions. But I'm telling you, I hope he can look back at the example of his father like I can look back at the example of my father and of my heavenly father. Right? And he can say, man, Dad was faithful and obedient to the Word of God. Faithful and obedient to the Word of God. Friend, listen. I don't think there's any guy in here that at what point you found out, hey, you're going to be a dad. You were just like, totally ready. I mean, totally ready. No, come on. Not one of us were like, yes, I'm totally, I mean, maybe we were like, yes, but come on. Every one of us were like, whoa, you're kidding, right? No way. I mean, I remember my wife and I, we were married a whole month and a half, and she said, hey, guess what? There wasn't a matter of, hey, I'm ready to do this, but understand with me. Understand with me. Even though I say, I just wasn't ready. Listen, now you have the responsibility. And what's needed is faithful obedience. I know I belabored that maybe this morning in saying it. But we're missing it so much in our society. Let it not be said of those who would name the name of Christ that they couldn't come to a place where they'd see men teaching other men how to be faithful and obedient to God's word. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.